Good morning, and I feel I need to introduce myself, Marty Miller. Deborah and I have been a part of this congregation since its beginning, amongst a lot of other folks that are in here this morning. We're going to try to get a presentation up here. There we go. I have exactly 10 minutes before I interlope on your donut time. So we're going to speed things up here in just a minute and give you a lot of information in a very short period of time. I've been privileged to be on a committee with Sonny Taylor and with Eric Allared regarding conceptual work regarding facilities expansion and financing. That's the information that we're going to get across here. Three major points they've asked me to convey this morning. One is, why in the world do we need a new building? Why do we need new facilities? I'm going to tell you a little bit about the vision of the congregation since its beginning, and that the elders at this point in time also agree with and support. We've looked at what could be in a new building and a new facilities to support this congregation, what the needs are, really in correlation to a lot of different factors, including input from people such as yourselves, a lot of different ministry leaders, the ministers themselves, talk to a lot of folks about what they would like, their wish list. There's reasons and good rationale behind a lot of the things we're going to put up on the screen here this morning. We also visited a number of churches where they have experienced rapid growth, talked to them about their needs, their requirements, what they would do differently. There's been a lot of work go into the effort so far as this committee is concerned. And finally, we're going to talk about the giving plan and how we potentially can fund and finance what we need to do here at Woodland Oaks. Eric's on this committee serving. I kind of understand why Sonny asked him to serve with him, since Eric is a Tilson Homes guy, and that's a free plug, Eric. And he understands building and expansion and all those types of things. I think I'm just filler. You know, they just put me on there for another guy to be on here. So anyway, we've done a lot of work and had a real enjoyable experience together working on this committee. Since there's so many people that are here that are new to the congregation, felt it was probably appropriate to go back and give a little concise history so that everyone kind of understands where we came from. I believe in going back and looking at roots, I think it helps identify who we are and where we've been, and also might help us indicate where we're going as well. So bear with us here very quickly, some short history. Woodland Oaks Church, the congregation first met at the Woodlands Executive Conference Center on January 5th, 1993, with 78 persons in attendance. The church met at Interfaith Facilities on Interfaith Drive. Most of us that have been around here for a while know that as Woodrush, until May 1993. From May 93 until January 99, the congregation met in a built-out office complex close to I-45 and Sawdust Road. During that period of stretch in time, our numbers grew to greater than 200 people. This five-acre site was purchased in 1995. Jack Ivanovich went with us to a meeting. You didn't know I was going to mention this morning, did you, Jack? Went with us to meet with who an elementary school is now named after here in the Woodlands, Joel Duretkin, to basically go in and look at a site plan of the Woodlands. There was a lot of the Woodlands that was not built out in 1995. There's been huge changes, lots of people that have come in since 1995. We went and threw out the plot map and looked at the various church sites that were available within the Woodlands, and we asked Joel, where would you put a church? If you were going to put a grassroots church in the Woodlands, Texas proper, where would you put a church? Guess where he put his finger? Right here. Because it's the geographic center of the Woodlands. Ken alluded a little bit ago that this is the core, the center of a lot of economic growth activity that's going to take place on the north side of Houston. We're at a great location. It was picked because of its access to Kirkendall, its access to Crown Ridge, its access to Cochran's Crossing. All the major roads are here enabling, and access to 1488, good access to Magnolia, right? We could get a lot of people here in a very short period of time. So a very good site to be looking to build on. This building was constructed in 1998 with the first services and dedication held in January 1999. So if you look at that, in 5 years, we basically purchased property, grew a congregation, set a building in place, the one that we're sitting in here this morning. 2002, due to growth, the Lord's Day AM worship services were expanded to 2 assemblies. That's where we are right now, right? Late in 2003, plans were begun to expand our educational facilities. In August 2007, construction commenced on the education building. The membership at that time was approximately 450. The membership population was approximately 450. with average Sunday AM attendance of around 330. This is going to be significant in just a minute, so take a look at these numbers. Education building was dedicated on October 18th, 2009. Now, I'm going to slow down here for just a minute. I probably need this laser pointer, not on that screen, but on this one. This number surprised me, this top one. Did you know this? Current membership population is 681. Current average attendance on Sunday morning is approximately 470 folks. Current auditorium seating, now that we've put the sound booth in place back there at the back, we had to take out about 10 or 15 chairs, is approximately 270 folks. Now, let me explain the bottom one, the 80% rule. Some of you may not be familiar with that. The 80% rule is by church growth experts and people who understand groups and how people come in to join assemblies like this. That is basically the number where people feel comfortable affiliating with the congregation. When they come through the doors, and if there is space for them to come in and be comfortably seated and be greeted, that's your 80%. So that 216 number is the 80% that we should have in this auditorium. For example, I looked up the numbers from last week's AM first service, 268 people. In the second service, there was, I believe, 206 or 208 in the second service, so right there on the borderline. So we are crowded, and I don't think that's news to anybody, right? So the Facilities Expansion Committee mission, as we were given from the elders, was basically to evaluate existing facilities for capacity, in other words, what we have on site at the present time, try to assess future needs for growth based upon looking out there a ways and seeing what potentially we could have as far as people coming to this congregation, recommend some options to consider for the future. The conclusion that the committee drew and basically communicated to the elders was the current rate of growth cannot be accommodated. Oh, it can be accommodated. As long as you don't mind lots of pushing and shoving and having trouble finding seats and all that type of thing, we can accommodate it for a little while longer, not much longer. And as Ken mentioned, we would have to expand and put other monitors and have people in the Magnolia Room with monitors and those types of things possibly. So the conclusion also was that options need to be formulated in a course of action and implemented as soon as feasibly possible. Okay, the options that we came up with and that were rendered to the elders: expanded facilities to include a new auditorium, additional classrooms to go with that, and staff offices, while also considering complementary additions. Number two, already mentioned by Ken, not an appealing circumstance, because he and Sonny, neither one feel that they can go through a third service. Their tongue will probably be hanging out after the end of three services. They can't do that. Oh, they can, and probably would if we have to, but it's not desirable. And the third one is always a decision that those of us in the corporate world know about. There's always a decision to do nothing, right? And we didn't feel that that was an option because the Lord is blessing us here and we want to continue to grow. So number one was recommended by the committee and agreed to by the elders. Step back here for just a minute about the vision for growth. The vision for growth that has been here since the very beginning of the congregation and that these current elders agree with and support is that we would grow to 650 to 750 members, which is the site limitation. We have some limitations with respect to parking, with respect to how many people can be on this site at one time. We knew that when 5.2 acres was purchased back at the beginning. After we grew to that level, it was always our motivation to spawn another congregation, to have 100 to 150 people who were willing to go to another geographic location or someplace that needed a body of the Lord's church and set up a church, and then this core church on this site would oversee and support the work of that new congregation. And then, believe it or not, the process is grow the core church and do it again. And therefore, give the blessings of this type of the Lord's church to other communities and grow the church. Recommended content. Now, realize something here. Nothing is set in stone at this point. But what we looked at, again, based upon what other congregations were doing that were fast-growing congregations, looking to the needs that were communicated to us from the people that were here in this congregation, these were the things that would possibly be incorporated into a new facility. Auditorium to seat 750 to 800 people. Remember, how many do we seat in here? 270. So we're talking about a pretty good sized facility. Design it as close to the pulpit area as possible. We like the intimate environment. This one was designed so that we could have an intimate environment. Flat floor, save money, prevent access issues. You have different issues if you have sloped floors with people getting in, ingress and egressing the facility. Have adjoining offices to accommodate twice the current staff number as what we have right now. Adjoining 0-4 classrooms, 4-6 in number with controlled access and central sign-in. 1 or 2 80-seat classrooms with direct access to restroom facilities for weddings and other types of special events. Covered drive for drop-off during inclement weather. Extra parking per site availability. Design the auditorium for a cappella singing. We're not planning on putting on a show or anything. We're going to optimize, if we build this thing, to maintain the beautiful a cappella singing this church is known for. Covered walkways to access other buildings, much like the walkway that goes to the current education building. Now, other recommendations contingent on funding, depending on how well we can do. Attached gym, multi-purpose area, important for the youth group. Would like to see that done if possible, if funding will permit it. Large commercial-type kitchen to serve the multi-purpose area. That would be, as visualized, potentially back in this area. Maintain this area as a chapel, as a function, a gathering area for smaller groups, multi-purpose area here, kitchen in between, commercial kitchen, so that basically we could seat everybody instead of having maybe dinner out on the grounds all the time, maybe inside in inclement weather, and an enclosed play area for toddlers. Now, this slide is for mature audiences only. This is a bubble that you see up here. There could be some questions. You say, okay, guy, you've told us about all this stuff that we can build here on this site. Is there room to put it there? The answer to that question is yes, there is room out here to do this. You see the drive-through? All of this has been laid out. Bear in mind here, nothing has been set in stone. We're coming back to the congregation, to everybody for input. It's just that we wanted to give the concept that there's room to put this on this site. And in fact, for those of you that have maybe not walked around out on the lot, I wanted to give a few pictures. This one from the northwest side of the parking lot. The area that we're talking about, of course, is over in this area with the education building here, the building that we're in right here. Looking from the butterfly garden out here, looking back in this way, this would be the area where the facility would be constructed. And looking from whatever that corner is, the northwest corner, no, from that parking lot over there, I'm sorry, on the other side of the education building, and all of this area back here, and you see the tennis courts, main building back over here. Okay. Now we get to the good part. This is where we're going to let her run, Rev, let her run. Funds for expansion. How it's been determined that we will do this. You're going to get a blue envelope in just a little bit with a letter in it that explains this in much more detail than what's on the screen up here. There's going to be quarterly special contributions by the members to be gifted the last Sunday of each quarter. Last Sunday of this quarter will be May 29th. Every family is being asked to pray, plan, prepare, and perform to the degree that they have purposed in their hearts. There is a pledge from the leadership that there will not be records kept. We're not going to record anyone's salary or find out about your bank accounts. The church, that's not the church's business. There's no records that are going to be kept regarding that. There's no pressure. There's not going to be bludgeoning from the pulpit regarding giving. You don't have to look forward to those sermons every week, and Ken's glad that he's not going to have to deliver them. There's not going to be other programs involved in the gifting effort. This is just going to be free will and first fruits type of offering. I would recommend to you, the leadership would recommend to you, that you go take a look at first fruit offerings in the Bible and what was involved with that. People have asked me, since they knew I was on this building committee, and Glenn alluded to it earlier, when he was talking about that God has all the money that he wants here, people have asked me, how are we going to fund this thing? With the financing the way it is out there in the commercial world, how in the world are we going to do that? And this was my answer in quotation marks here. God has all the money he needs in place to build whatever he wants. It just happens to be in the hands of the stewards and whether they're going to allow it to happen. The building expansion will happen as quickly as the congregation's generosity allows. Cut and dried. Our elders intend for us to be fiscally responsible and at the same time maintain our other ongoing works. Glenn Addison said something in a prayer a couple of weeks ago that really struck me. And that was, he thanked the Lord that the gospel is being preached all over the world based upon the efforts of this congregation, and the sun never sets on that effort. And I thank him for that prayer. We are being challenged to raise approximately $3 million by the time this new facility would be completed. Now, there's going to be detail in that letter that tells you more about that. Reminder, our first fruits offering will be May 29. Please see the letter that you're being distributed to right now inside of this blue envelope for additional information. You will find that there is a slip of paper in there that is for your purpose only. When your family has prayed together and planned and purposed, that slip of paper is for your family. It is not to be turned back in. Nor is the letter that's in the envelope to be turned back in as well. One last thought before we go to donuts. I've read this several times already. It's going to help guide our family in what we're going to do. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. May God bless us as we enter into this effort to expand His kingdom and His church, this location. Thank you. Closing song.